listening to Around Comics, Con Special, Saturday. Chicago and Wizard World Chicago once again. It's Saturday and we're back at Wizard World on the floor talking to everybody that we can get to come over to the corner of the con.
Anyone we can trick into sitting down.
Yeah, exactly.
CBS Radio.
Sit down.
You'd like to talk to us.
I want to mention that this show is in conjunction with Comic Book Resources, comicbookresources.com, and also it is sponsored by InStockTrades.com, so there's the plugs. Tom, it's just the two of us.
Yeah, we ate Chris.
We kicked Scotty off the island.
It was less expensive
than pizza.
To eat Chris than to get a hot dog.
Yeah, exactly.
And I still used the condiment bar, even though I didn't. And we got some hot peppers, put some hot dogs on that.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just gamey, you know?
I wonder how Jan Jones' hot dog was that she was so excited to get.
Oh, yeah.
Super dog.
I bet she ate a lot of bacon for breakfast this week. She loves the bacon. Well, last night we hung out in the bar again and had some fun, talked to a lot of people. Chris got silly drunk once more. And
he poured a beer on his head. Did you hear about that?
No, he did?
He was adjusting his cat. He had his camera in one hand. Well, the guys that Matt, the guy who writes White Picket Fences, was telling me this, and he looked over, and Chris had his camera in one hand and his beer in his other, and he went to like adjust his hat
with his beer hand,
and he ended up pouring it on his own head.
I didn't know that. I didn't hear that story. Oh, good God. He can be a sloppy drunk.
Yeah.
It's we got to keep an eye on him. But
we saw many people.
We did. Ran into Hillary Barta last night.
I heard Hillary's voice like in the background, and I'm like, I know that. He was bitching about like the Brewers winning or something, and which immediately caught my ear.
Sure, sure.
So I turned around.
Chris Moreno, we hung out with him a little bit. Will Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
You had a super long in-depth.
We talked about All-Star Superman for like an hour.
I walked by and you were talking about Alan Moore for a while, and I was like, this is getting too deep for me. I don't know what these guys are getting into.
You have to walk away.
Will was really cool, and we had a lot of fun last night, and then today we've just been kind of hanging out.
It's busy there.
I was in an artist alley talking to some of the guys, and they said Thursday and Friday was a little bit slow, but today it seemed the morning already made up for that.
Yeah, I walked around artist alley. I picked up a few books.
Yeah, so
I picked up First in Space from Oni. It's about the first monkey.
Oh, yes.
It's like a true story.
Where is the Oni booth? I didn't even see it.
I didn't buy it at the Oni.
Okay.
They don't have a booth. What else did I get? I picked up the fourth issue of School by Brian Defferding.
I said hi to Brian.
One comes out a year, every year.
Yeah, every con. He's got a new one out.
That's how it works out.
I ran into a guy that said he had just talked to you before I got to him. He was doing a book called Last Resort or something like that?
Last Resort. Lackluster World.
Oh, yeah, that was it. Lackluster World.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, I guess he knew us, but he's like,
he
I was just talking to
issues.
Tom. Did he? I bought mine. Son of a.
You can read mine, too.
Damn it.
You can read the rest of mine, too.
No, I bought them all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he charged me for them, the bastard.
Maybe he wanted me to pay for them, too, and I just walked away.
You just walked away with them? I know, I am kind of hesitant sometimes to like, buy stuff because people will give us so much stuff, but
I don't mind buying.
I don't mind either, especially the little guy. Although the weird thing was, like in Artist Alley, it seemed like there weren't that many people with books. It was all prints and sketches.
Yeah, prints, art.
Yeah.
Art. But there weren't as many books.
I was like searching for good books, and I couldn't find all that many this year, it seemed like.
Talk to the ape guys, but...
We had some technical difficulties. We might try and drag him over again and talk to him again.
24/7 Volume 2. Brandon's table.
I talked to Ivan. I was going to say what he told me last night, but I can't.
Go fuck yourself.
No. No, wasn't that. That was
I hate
later.
The show.
I hate you guys.
I hate you guys.
Ran into Tony Moore a little bit last night. Who else? Today we had some fun, but...
A lot of costumes.
A lot of good costumes. I saw a dude in an ogre.
From Animal... from Revenge of the Nerds?
No, that ogre. From, like, Lord of the...
It might have actually been ogre.
Well, no, the funny thing, it was like... Oh, no, it was a Gamora guard, or is Gamorrean guard?
The Gamorrean guard, it like was a pig.
Yeah, the
thing.
Big green pig guy.
Yeah.
It was that costume. It was an awesome-looking costume, but then the guy took his mask off, and he looked like the dwarf from Lord of the Rings. He was an older dude with this big, scraggly beard, and it was just, like, crazy-looking.
It weirded you out.
Yeah,
wrecked the costume.
Yeah, a little bit.
I saw a guy dressed as Boba Fett, and he took his helmet off, and my first thought was a robot chicken thing where it's the Boba Fett talking to Han Solo, like when he's in the frozen carbonite. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Find it on YouTube. It's pretty funny because he's like, let me take the helmet off. Oh, look, I'm even more handsome with the helmet off. And then I thought the exact reverse when he's taking it off.
He's not
some dude. Should have been better if he was extremely handsome. Every time I see a costume and I don't know what it is, I just assume it's manga or anime.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I have no clue what that is or that. But you see a lot of cool costumes.
And Shane White's running up to us.
Shane White's coming.
A comical pratfall.
Oh, he's returning my sketchbook. I commissioned a sketchbook from him. Or a sketch
from
Shane.
Let's see what he recorded.
Oh, that's... Jesus, dude. That's awesome.
You don't have to call me Jesus.
That is so cool. Oh,
what
thank
is it?
You. I have no idea what it is,
it's
but...
It's a man. It's a
is that from Overwatch? Is that a character? That's awesome.
Nice.
Thank you. Very beautiful.
Man. All Susquito.
Look at that.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
All Susquito.
Scotty's back.
So the computer finally started working?
Yeah, I finally got it up and running.
We were just talking about the costumes
and,
how if I don't know what it is, I just assume it's like a manga book, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or it's just the way they dress.
First, we should let everybody know all I'm wearing right now is a red Speedo with a lightning bolt across my balls.
Adult Shazam.
Yes.
I took a...
Shazam!
Watch my Billy Batson turn into my Captain Marvel. Sweet.
Tom, I took a picture of... there were two kids dressed up as Flash.
Oh, yeah, I saw them.
And I took a picture and I sent it to our blog. I said, Tom brought the kids today.
Yeah. I'm going to have enough kids so I can have a whole Justice Society.
So you'd, like, take them back to your room and say, okay, kids.
Listen, you're out of character. Our man would never do that.
Let me show you my Legion of Doom.
Yeah. All right, come to my room and check out my Fing Fang Foom.
Oh, I think my favorite costume, I saw a guy dressed up as Wolverine. And he was, like, trying to make his way through a bunch of people. His little tinfoil claws he was holding up in the air so that he didn't get bent.
I thought it was adamantium. You can't destroy.
It's unbreakable.
These are more aluminum.
Are you guys determined to only record shows when Chris is busy?
It turns out that way.
They seem better that way.
I saw a sweet Aquaman costume. Like, this dude
really?
Had long blonde hair and, like, a old-school Aquaman costume. And he had an Adam action figure that he was carrying around.
Oh.
So if you took a picture, it would be like him holding the
Adam.
Oh,
that's cute.
Did he have one arm?
Yes. Yeah, he had a hook brain. He literally chopped off one of his hands.
Only for this weekend.
For the Peter David version. And a Martian Manhunter. But the Martian Manhunter has like these platform shoes on. Which I don't think is really part of the...
Like kiss shoes?
They're like huge. Maybe because he needs to be taller, but...
Yeah, he's probably short. He needs
kind of freaked me out a little bit. I was like glam rock Martian Manhunter walking around.
I will say it was pretty funny. We make fun of all the costumes and everything, but there's some pretty cool costumes. And like I saw some kids walking around, and you know, like I was walking down one aisle, and this guy's holding his son.
There's a Flash.
At 70s Flash.
And
remember the Velour?
Yeah.
I do.
Velour and the other. Yeah, what the
That
hell?
Batman's not so agile.
No, no. But like these kids quick. Were these kid this kid's eyes just because there was a guy in a Darth Vader and the guy's like this little kid's just you know all excited. So that was pretty cool to see.
Did he look at the kid and go, I will destroy you?
No, I don't think so. I don't
or
think
I
so.
Am your father.
You saved Luke. You already have saved.
You are.
Wouldn't that be fucked up if you did go, I am your father, and the kid just starts bawling, I never met my dad!
Impossible!
Or my dad died.
My dad died.
Yeah. My dad died, asshole.
I saw my dad die, so.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for that.
Lord Vader apologizes.
Yeah. Somebody picked my dad up and threw him down a bottomless pit in a spaceship, ass.
What else did I stopped by, I saw a trade for new Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the half off. I didn't get it.
Thanks.
I was thinking about getting it.
Thanks.
Nice, nice.
Why do you pick on the Scotty about the new Warriors?
I just thought it was funny because I was looking at it.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, Shane.
It looks awesome. I'm waiting to really get a better deal.
Oh, Shane's you know gonna what? Whoop your ass,
you know
buddy.
What I gotta look for this? I forgot about it. I wanted to get that the Doc Ock year one from Zeb.
Oh, that's it.
I gotta
go find
that.
It right
I gotta,
now.
I gotta go find that. This
show over.
Show
you know,
over.
The
We're
first
done.
Time I saw your work, I think I picked up. Yeah, some Spider-Man thing you did.
Yeah, this was probably Spider-Clan. That was my first miniseries.
Really?
Yeah. Years ago, like 5-6 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, yeah. I think I bought like maybe the first issue
right.
or something. But it was like I hadn't seen anything like that in a while. I thought, well, I don't know if I had ever seen anything like that. It's just one of those things. It's like I needed reference to, you know, knock off your style for a gig. And
sweet.
And it works, you know?
Sweet.
You're
like, take notes.
This will work. This guy.
This will work all right.
This guy knows what he's doing.
He's all right.
He's good.
What have you been doing today, Scotty?
I walked around. I've been hunting for the guy who sells Alex Ross and Bill Sienkiewicz's artwork, the originals, and I cannot find it.
Oh,
are
really?
You talking about that
Sal guy or
something? Oh, Atomica. Oh, he's an artist at Alley.
He's an artist at Alley.
Yeah.
He's Atomica.
Down
he's
down
got
the road,
Atomica booth.
Oh,
in Artist
but
Alley.
He's selling their artwork as well.
I don't know
said.
If he's doing it this.
Sienkiewicz said he was. Don't call me liar.
Oh.
Sienkiewicz went like this. I am not selling my art. But other than that, man, no, I just been roaming around. I helped a. I talked.
Oh yeah, you saved a child.
Saved a
young
child.
Yeah.
I helped a little girl that
you
was.
You delivered
lost.
A baby in the concession stand.
Dan Buckley and I swooped in and
it saved,
saved
a child.
The lost baby.
And that's not even a joke. You actually
no, dead
helped,
serious.
Helped this young
Dan, girl. Dan Buckley and I were sitting at the Marvel booth and just chatting and. A fan came up and said, hey, and we were like, what? We're busy. And
we're
he said, no,
stars.
I don't care who you are. There's a lost kid. And it looked like a movie, though. All the people parted for a second, and there's just like a 2-year-old standing in the aisle, just like when Sarah McLachlan started playing.
A single tear pouring down his cheek.
So I got him, and one of the Marvel guys, their first reaction to the lost child at age of 2 is
black
give
market.
Him bags of candy.
Literally a stranger giving
No, you don't give a lost child candy.
That's the first thing you don't
do. So I sat the child down and gave her a Sharpie and a board so she could scribble on, and I'd say, what's your name, honey? And she'd hold up 2 fingers signifying that she's 2. And I said, you know what I said?
Are you sure?
Said, fucking
said,
help!
No! What's your name?
What's your name?
Idiot!
And, but then
we got the 501
crew. It took us maybe 20, 30 minutes and we finally we saved the day, located, you know. Believe it or not, we're walking
did you,
on air.
Did you bitch at the parents going, what the fuck?
It was odd though, yeah. The dad came over and I mean, he didn't even say like, oh, thanks, I was worried or anything. He just took his daughter's hand and walked off.
Nice. You called him an asshole, didn't you?
Yeah, I was like, hey, prick.
Hey, way to go.
Hey, dad of the year.
Funny
do you know who the fuck I am?
Did you get that action
bucks?
Figure you're and waiting for?
I have a funny buying a child candy story. I went to Seattle and I stayed with this friend of a friend, and they had like there was a kid in the house, and they had a bunch of friends over, so, like these 6-year-olds. And my friend and I were gonna go get something at the grocery store. Like, hey, you guys want anything? You want some candy? And everyone's like, oh.
Yeah.
And then one kid was really quiet, and we're like, oh, you sure don't want anything? And she's like, I want a king size 3 Musketeers. So we get back, and I think, well, maybe we should ask if they're allergic.
Right.
To
oh
yeah,
God.
The kid was allergic.
Right.
To
oh
chocolate.
My God.
And that's
God.
What I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't give a strange lost child.
And all I can think
anything.
Is, why did
anything.
The kid,
anything
like,
to
this
eat.
Kid's trying to fucking kill herself with a bad giant 3 Musketeers.
Suicidal right. children.
Yeah.
It's
the 3 Musketeers.
It afflicts everyone.
Mark Millar just walked by.
Why didn't you say something?
It's not Millar.
He's going to a panel.
He has a panel.
Why do you call him Millar? It's Miller.
It's Miller.
I'm sorry.
I say it with an accent.
Yeah, they got a panel now. I was gonna.
Hank was hanging with them all day.
Was he?
No.
You're hanging out with Miller?
Hank's just been sitting behind people's tables.
Pretending to be.
He's Norton's art dealer.
Yeah, exactly.
Dealer.
So Julie kicked me out.
Yeah. Julie came in house and shit.
Did Crank ever show up?
Nope.
Wow,
that son of a bitch.
Oh, he's dodging too.
Yeah,
and he's gonna pull this one. My phone was dead.
Whatever. Yeah, my charger was broken. My phone was dead.
Oh, there's a couple Jedis.
Oh,
nice.
Did he fall off the wagon?
I mean, Crank.
Yeah, is he?
Crank's
still
off about 7 wagons.
Oh, dear lord.
We need more costumes. Yeah. I want more people in costumes.
Yeah, we need. We just saw. I just saw.
Oh,
a pool.
There's a Tusken Raider.
I just saw a really cool.
They travel in a single file too.
I just saw a really cool Adam West style Batman.
I saw that and Robin.
An actual child.
Yeah, child Robin. A little red-headed Robin that was.
Yeah, that was a scary.
That was a little creepy.
That was a scary sight.
If I see more than one Tusken Raider, I will bitch at them if they're not moving in single file to cover their numbers.
Yeah.
Cover their numbers.
Where's your Bantha?
All right, well, we're going to try and get some other creators on and talk to them, but I think that's a good start to the day today, and we'll be back a little bit.
Oh, you're just starting.
Yeah, well.
God,
yeah.
We're playing with time.
Yes.
Time is fun.
Time, Shane.
This is my voice. This is my voice.
And we're joined now by one of our favorite local Chicago area creators, but the world-renowned now creator, Mr. Jeffrey Brown. How you doing?
Good. I'm good.
Awesome. Heard you've been globetrotting. You're out in Bristol.
I was in England for a couple weeks earlier this spring.
You're, of course, promoting your work, like, you know, clumsy and unlikely at the time.
Yeah.
But now, in San Diego was the release of the new Incredible Change Box.
That's right.
Awesome.
And it's here at Wizard World and in stores the next week or two.
Fantastic. What's the initial reaction to the book then?
The reaction's been great. It's been pretty well received from. As far as like crossover between mainstream and a lot of my usual indie fans too, so
how are I'm the really Transformers happy. Fans taking to it?
They seem to be occasionally wary, but mostly pretty receptive.
They get the joke.
Yeah, I think so. Especially, I think I don't know about some of the diehard fans who maybe have seen like I've only seen a couple Transformers parodies before, but apparently there's a lot. I don't know where they are, but
haven't seen many of them.
You know, I guess if you're a diehard Transformers fan, maybe you've seen everything already. So, especially like I grew up with the cartoons, like the original cartoons and the Marvel comics.
Roll out.
And yeah, like
roll
out. So that's kind of what the book's also a. Not just a parody of, but an homage to. So I think, like, especially for people that grew up with that stuff, they're really liking the book.
Normally say that was a departure from your largely autobiographical style, but, you know, you've done other stuff like Big Head and stepped out of that. But I think this is, for a lot of people that are familiar with your work, this is very different than what you've done in the past.
Yeah, well for one thing, it's in color, so. No, it's definitely... it's more of like a sustained narrative in the story, and it's more of a more specific parody too.
Was it nice for you from, you know, and I know that you write and illustrate all of your work, but was it a nice change to jump into doing robots or everything else?
Yeah. I mean, I've always, like, if you look through my sketchbook, there's robots, you know, from the beginning. I think like most sci-fi fans. So, but I've never really done much with that. You know, I've done the superhero thing a little bit, but like, you know, the love of, as far as like big monsters and robots, are those are some of the things that I hadn't touched so far. So
you're set up with the top shelf guys today.
Yeah.
Signing. How's that going for you so far?
It's been good. It's been it seems very wavy in terms of, you know, lots of people and then they all go somewhere else. I don't know where, but somewhere I can't see. And then they come back in my field of vision and all at once again.
We were talking with your buddy Joshua Elders yesterday.
Oh yeah.
He stopped by and we were talking with him about Batman Strikes and everything.
Yeah, his Batman just came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said he wanted to get you guys on someday to come on together.
Did he mention anything about any of his new projects that he's...
What did he? I can't remember.
Well, he talked obviously about all the news with Mail Order Ninja, uh-huh. and Jackie yeah. Chan's been, you know,
okay.
yeah, reading yeah. that kind of stuff.
Because I think there's going to be some more exciting stuff from Josh that I don't think I'm at liberty to talk
Say
about,
it.
But
oh.
so, it's pretty exciting.
Cool.
You guys
sorry. I didn't know if it, I don't think it's public
Anything
knowledge.
Announced.
So.
Yeah, we don't want to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Josh.
We don't want to.
Great. I got the Batman Strikes last night and.
Awesome. Now, do you guys still work together?
Yeah. I mean, I only pull one shift at the bookstore now, so we don't see each other as much there. But, yeah, we're still both there. And, you know.
Are you superstars at the bookstore now? It's like, hey, this is my book.
Not our managers. I don't that, what are you guys doing chatting? Get back to work.
I know you're public.
Yeah,
well,
so.
you work in the music section anyway, right?
Well, now I've kind of switched to the book section now that I'm down to just the one day a week. I'm usually shelving, which I kind of like. It, you know, gives me a chance to see a lot of stuff and... So
what are you working on anything else coming up soon? Or I know the last time we talked to you had...
I think the last time I was probably finishing up the book called Little Things, which is the short story autobiographical collection that'll come out next spring from Simon & Schuster. That book's kind of pretty much finished, so they're just doing, you know, production type stuff, getting it ready to print or whatever. And then I've started working on, with Top Shelf, I'd like to do a series of mini-comics. I'm going to do, like, 32-page issues, like, 3 or 4 issues a year, with do some more big head stuff. And,
nice.
Oh, cool.
Kind of more of the fun stuff. I'm doing a 96-page MMA story that'll take up 3 issues, so...
Are you serious?
I'm serious. I've got the first third of it.
We've got a poster on our forum that is all about MMA, so he's going to be very excited.
Oh, yeah. If you check out... I posted a page of it on the Holy Consumption blog.
Right, right.
You can see it there, but... yeah, so I've been kind of working on that, and then... The next book for Simon & Schuster is kind of a high school, college, art school story. So I've started working on that, too. So
the Top Shelf stuff is going to be more smaller?
For the time being, it'll be the just the comic series that I'll start, which it's going to be, like I said, 3 or 4 issues a year. So I'll kind of balance out doing the autobiographical stuff with... doing kind of some more humorous, weirder
stuff. I was going to say, I mean, most of your books are, you know, they're, you know, these massive volumes of work, and it's like, is it going to be nice for you to be able to do some smaller, you know, things?
Yeah, I mean, I used to do mini comics, like, I used to do at least 1 or 2 a year for conventions, and when I moved to doing the books, it just became harder, so this is kind of a chance to, like, return to that kind of, you know, get back at the roots of both mini comics and then also the comic book series, which, you know, is something I've kicked around the idea of doing a series for a while, and it seems like the kind of the good setup for me to do right now. So.
Now, ChangeBots, is that available? I wasn't sure, because we were talking with Chris.
This week it'll be available.
It should be in stores. It's... because it's full color, they printed it in Asia, so it's kind of when the boat gets here. But I think the boat got here, so
But you've had copies.
Yeah, we had copies
at
San Diego and
Bristol. Did you have them at Bristol?
We've got some left here. We didn't have it at Bristol.
Oh, okay.
The new book at Bristol was actually the cat getting out of a bag.
Okay.
I've heard so many funny stories. I've actually had someone walk up to me, and you came up in conversation, and actually it was Joshua Elders. It was that he bought one for.
I need to give him some promotional fees.
He's doing this amazing viral marketing of pass it on of the cat book.
So how's the feedback on ChangeBots been for you so far?
On
ChangeBots?
Oh, the feedback's been great. So there's even a fan club you can join, and people have already been joining that, even with the book not being in stores yet. So
cool. I'm walking over to the top shelf today and grabbing mine. So
how many pages?
It's 144 pages. So
and retail's four?
Retail is 15. They're actually at the conventions, though. Top shelf has a limited run of hardcovers. Those are 30, and it's got a different cover and.
The variant, olive oil.
instead of the soft cover's got this wraparound painting I did, and then the hardcover just has on the front is the character Big Rig, and on the back is Shooter Tron. So, and we've got some of those here too. So.
Cool,
awesome. Great. Well, Jeffrey, thank you so much. It's always fun.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
Tom's just showing up
at the end.
Always.
What are you talking about? You were just sitting there, and you were
I was enthralled
trying to get
the
word in edgewise, and we just kept cutting you off.
I had my hands. I was looking at you this the whole time.
Yeah. Giving me that.
Come up to the shop again sometime soon?
Yeah, I've been there. I haven't seen you guys. I haven't been in there on a Friday night, I guess.
Yeah, well, you have better things to do, probably. Yeah.
I was living my life on Fridays.
Well, yeah, we put the baby to sleep, and then we stay home, so, for the most part. But once in a while, I get out. I actually haven't seen the Transformers movie yet, so.
Me either.
That's how getting out of the house at night is for me these days. But I made it to Wizard World, so.
Yes,
there
you did.
There you go. And, well, you're always welcome, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Love the work. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
We're now joined by DC exclusive writer and superstar of all Bob Evans everywhere, Mr. Sean.
Never
gonna
outlive.
Hello. I heard the Bob Evans thing's kind of calming down. You're not going to Bob.
Yeah, I'm not going so much anymore. Yeah, you go through the whole menu, 80 times, and you start to get a little tired of it.
Need a little change.
Yeah.
A little something
so
different.
They're going to be, I think they're going to be building a Max and Irma's nearby that serves breakfast, so
nice.
I may be doing a little switch up. But no, I've been mostly having breakfast at home now.
Oh, you're too busy writing.
Yeah.
How many books are you doing now?
18.
Oh my God.
I got Countdown, I got Teen Titans, and I've got Birds of Prey. And then I also have a special that's coming out in October. Countdown presents The Search for Ray Palmer, Crime Syndicate.
Good God.
Who's doing art on that?
Jamal Igle.
Oh, nice.
It's really great. Fantastic. He's done the whole issue already. It looks gorgeous.
Is Norton giving him some pointers on the Atom?
I think Jamal's been given Norton pointers.
Nice. Well, hey, you're taking over a couple high-profile books. Fans are very passionate about Birds of Prey, and Teen Titans fans are notoriously passionate about that series. And I'm not going to throw out is there a lot of pressure involved with that, but... is there? What's it like to take over two series like that have, I think, very different fan bases?
Right, well, with Titans... It felt like such a perfect fit for me that I never really fretted the fact that, Jeff Johns and obviously Marv Wolfman before him, but Jeff in this run has had this huge celebrated run. And so you do kind of concern yourself with the fact that you're taking over for something that people have gotten really comfortable with, and you worry a little bit. But with Teen Titans, it's not been too terrible. With Birds of Prey, however, Gale's fans are pretty rabid fans.
Sure.
I mean, they have rabies. They're quick to anger. No. Well, that was Gale really took a series that was a good series Chuck Dixon, and she made it something even greater, and she really did something special with it, I think, and So that, in that, you know, in that case, I was really worried about it because it's not the sort of book I'm typically known for, as opposed to Teen Titans with all the teenagers and the angst and the.
Right. That seemed like a perfect fit for you. It was like,
So yeah, that, like, where Teen Titans was a no-brainer, Birds of Prey they kind of needed to talk me into, and I mean I enjoy the book, and now that I'm working on it, I'm enjoying it. I think once I got the first issue under my belt, a lot of the butterflies went away. And they'll come back, I'm sure, in December when the first issue comes out.
Sure. Now, out of the whole Teen Titans cast, is there, you know, one character, a couple characters that you're really looking forward to writing that maybe other writers haven't developed as much as you want?
Well, that other characters haven't developed. Actually, there's three of them, really. There's Miss Martian, who's pretty much a blank slate. And then we have Kid Devil and Ravager, who've been around in the DCU for a while, but we haven't really done much with them since they joined the Titans. So one of the things I'm looking forward to doing is I'm going to spend some time showing what those three do when they're not with the Teen Titans. What's their week like? Where do they live? And with Miss Martian, I'm going to give her a civilian identity and have a lot of fun with her, maybe take her to high school. And in terms of just the characters in general, I'm really excited about Wonder Girl. I was actually going to write a Wonder Girl series for DC before they offered me Teen Titans, and so I decided to not do that anymore, because the two books with her in it would have just been too much. But now they're putting out a great miniseries by Jay Torres and Sanford Green.
Jay Torres, fantastic.
You had mentioned in the DCU panel yesterday, somebody had asked about Manhunter, and you had said maybe look for her in the in Birds of Prey. Is there anything you can talk about with that as far as what you have planned for her?
I'm gonna maybe use her. We're just not at that point yet. For the whole first arc, we're gonna be focusing on Oracle, Misfit, Lady Blackhawk, and Huntress. Misfit won't actually be one of the birds, but she's a main
part
character in the book.
Right.
And so the first arc will deal with those three, and then after that we start to bring some others in as needed. Actually, I think towards the end of the first arc, which we're still working some of this out, it's still like half a year away. But Manhunter is probably the first one that we'll bring in.
Okay. So working the big event circuit with Countdown, that series is very different, I think, than any other event that's been laid out there. And just, it's a weekly. You've got, Paul Dini as the lead writer. What's the whole process been like with that?
It's been actually really smooth. Basically, once a week, Paul Dini and Mike Carlin, and before him, Mike Martz, they get on the phone with whoever the writer is that week and talk out the issue with some basic notes brought out of the main document that Dini made. He made like this 100-page Bible. And so they pull out what they think will be in that issue. And then the writer, like say it's me, me and Paul and Mike will talk it out, and maybe I'll have some ideas for different ways to do things. And after that phone call, Dini punches out a beat sheet for the issue, and he has it, within 24 hours, and then I get to work, and it's great. He does a lot of the heavy lifting, to be frank, and so my job is to focus on the storytelling, and that's been a lot of fun.
Do you ever get, how much of the other writer's process do you know? Are you ever, like, surprised by something in one of the issues that...
You mean, like, by story stuff?
Yeah, or? Not necessarily story stuff, but, like, obviously... The writers all kind of are going to have their own sort of flavor for how the characters are presented,
right,
and like the way they talk and the way they deal with each other a little bit.
It's actually, we've all been pretty consistent with each other, it seems. I mean, maybe that was on purpose. They picked people who are similar writers or something. Yeah. And maybe Paul's hand is, his pimp hand is strong. I don't know.
backhanded by Paul Dini.
But not necessarily. I mean, I guess... I guess there are some times, and I couldn't give you a specific example now because a lot of that's just like a blur to me. But there are definitely specific times where I go, oh, nice, that's not how I would have done that, and I wouldn't have thought of that. And so it's cool to read the other people's scripts and collaborating, but without directly collaborating. It's kind of neat.
So it sounds like you're having a great time at DC so far, I'd imagine. I mean, it looks like things are just going great for you. I'm sorry. It sounds like you're having a great time at DC so far.
Sal's talking to himself.
Yeah. Nobody can ever hear me. I'm all,
been muttering the whole time.
I've been talking the whole time. Nobody's paying attention. I've answered like 7 questions, Sean. You haven't answered one of
Whoops.
Them. Whoops. Now I don't even remember what I was going to say.
Having a good time at DC.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It seems like you're having a good time at DC.
I really am, yeah. There are a bunch of nice guys there, and they've been treating me good, and they want me to be doing some big stuff, and that's fine by me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, wasn't that long ago? It was, you know, Gravity was what I knew, you know, Sean and Mike. It's been really fun to see the both of you in the last year really get put on some great books and get this great opportunity to tell some great stories. And congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thanks.
I have no other questions.
Tell us about Bob Evans.
Oh, no.
I'll tell you.
It was like too much of an interview.
About Mike Norton.
Oh, yeah. Really? Inner secrets.
What's your favorite costume you've seen so far?
My favorite costume?
Yeah, one that stick out?
There was this white queen who was just... now she's not here anymore, but there was a white queen. She was pretty cute.
A lot of poison ivies.
I saw one.
There's one right there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the other one I saw looked a little too poisoned, but but this one looks good.
Yeah, nicely done.
Yeah, I saw the white queen that looked more like a white king.
Oh,
no. Oh, I think I maybe seen that one. Yeah,
it's not good.
Yeah,
not
she
good.
Probably listens to the podcast and is like crying. Like, which one?
No,
am I
not
the
you,
hot
it's
one?
The other one.
It's not you.
But yeah, I saw a nice black canary and Batgirl walking around together. Those were good.
Someone was telling me a story yesterday that they saw someone dressed up like Poison Ivy and this other girl with her that obviously was dressed up like Black Canary, and a guy went up to her and was like, "Oh, let me take a picture. Yeah, it's a great Black Canary costume." And the girl's like, "I'm not dressed like Black Canary." Like, that was just, yeah.
That's my normal
Friday fishnet outfit. And, like, a blonde wig. And if I was that guy, I would say, yes, you are. You are dressed like that.
You just don't know.
You know what? That was Mike's mom.
Oh, God. I would...
Yeah, so back to the dirt on Norton.
The dirt. Mike's clean as a whistle.
Whoa, whoa.
What do we got here?
There's someone
Pokemon Intelligent Design.
Sign about Pokemon Intelligent Design.
Evidence supporting Pokemon Intelligent Design. Pokemon evolution happens instantaneously and not over millions of years,
wow.
As scientists claim.
This is like a commentary on both.
Interesting.
Common
interesting.
Geeks and
that's absolutely frightening.
Psychotics.
Hey, God, don't make no mistakes.
So how's the con experience changed for you over the last...
How's what?
How's the con experience changed for you over the last year?
Well, last year I didn't really do any shows except for local ones, just because I needed a break from them.
Yeah.
But the change from last time around has been really different. I mean, I actually had lines.
People want to see you. And
yeah, people want me to sign stuff, and they know who I am. Which is just, it's a strange change of pace for me, but it's a welcome one. I'm glad to finally be working on some stuff that people recognize. And, you know, actually, since I only have, like, 3 DC books out now, most of the stuff that people have been coming up with has been Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane.
Wow.
And that's been really wonderful for me because I loved writing that series, and it broke my heart a little bit to leave it. And right. to see the fans coming out for it
Have you been
really
sending some advice
heart.
To Terry Moore how to, you know, take the series forward?
I actually got to meet him in San Diego,
really? Oh,
and,
that's awesome.
And I was so excited that he's the guy taking over. I couldn't think of a better person to do it, but I told him if he ruins it, I'll kill him.
I will kill you.
I will end you, man.
Pikachu.
Pikachu.
Here comes a naughty nurse. Kind of like
yeah,
that. I'm sorry, I keep getting distracted by
really getting
costumes.
Distracted.
He sounds like the worst seat. He keeps getting distracted.
What are we looking at? I can't see.
Behind that guy
long,
with the ponytail.
That guy's sweet braided hair.
Yeah, that sweet braided ponytail.
Yeah.
Check it out. I got all this going down the back.
Who is she awesome supposed to be?
I don't know.
Sexy, Black Canary.
Oh, you know, the famous sexy nurse character in Justice
yeah.
League.
She's supposed to be...
That's a new Teen Titan character. You weren't aware of that?
Miss Martian.
Hey, that's fine by me.
Yeah, that's not Miss Martian.
Whoa,
high
what's
school
that dude with the blue hair? Oh, my.
Jesus, that's weird.
Wow, she's sultry.
All kinds of weird stuff. That's probably a manga character.
Yeah.
That I don't know.
Oh, that could be.
That's
but
what
usually
I
they
think.
Have a very like
have a giant sword.
A big sword.
Exactly.
Spiky hair.
A massive sword. I saw a few of those people at San Diego, and I'm like, if you're gonna pick a costume, why pick one with an accessory that you have to lug around the whole show?
Giant sword.
30-pound foam sword.
I saw a dude, it was Punisher, and he had like a 6-foot rifle. He's carrying around. I'm just like, what? You're just going
to
carry that thing around
like
all day?
I like to carry a rifle around the convention. And I just kind of muttered to myself at the end of the day.
I'm a Second Amendment man.
God damn.
I'm the angel of destruction. The time of atonement is
at hand. What did you say? Nothing.
The dark side of
what
Sean
was the
McGee.
Question?
So did you figure out the problems you were having with inventory?
I have a hard time hearing you for some reason.
Did you figure out the inventory problems you were having with 52, being able to put that into your database because it went backwards? Did you find a solution for that yet?
Oh, because for Countdown, no.
Oh, yeah, for Countdown.
It's 0151025003 49 and on and on and on. Until the last one, which would be, I guess, like 5101.
God, man.
Wow. Way to go.
too bad Scotty isn't here right
now.
What a nerd.
Well, in my long box, I always get confused because I look at the numbers and then I put them in, and then I'm like, wait. Now, what oldest goes in front, and then the numbers get me all reversed, and I just tip the box over.
My brain just melted.
Well, I get confused with the big numbers on top.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it's reverse counting,
order.
Which makes my
I was
head
really
spin.
Confused at first because I wrote the first issue starting with the last panel of the last page and worked my way backwards because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. But that didn't work out very well.
Darkseid kissing Superman. How do I get to that point in the story?
Now go
way to give away the ending, you son of a bitch.
Damn it, Tom, that was a secret.
Speaking of other really
Darkseid loves Superman.
I've never heard that before.
God,
you son of a...
That's why he's got the rifle.
The comic book entrepreneur,
comic book mogul.
Yes.
I had to let it die because the database was corrupted due to my kind of lazy coding, I guess. I rolled it out too quickly. And since then, I just haven't been able to go back and fix it. And it's been so many months now that I would just rather take the time to work on a new iteration of the whole game. But I just don't have the time, unfortunately. Same thing, I started a new version of my website around January. And then I got real busy with Countdown. And I got busy with Countdown starting in December. But,
I actually tried the comic book mogul, and then I started to refer to it as the retailer's kangaroo court. There's just like, no, what? I'm broke already.
I know. It was great. Everybody was going bankrupt all the time. It gave them a little bit of a taste.
Yeah,
you can just assume until it's fixed, just assume you would have gone bankrupt.
That's just a matter of time. Just figure every 2 weeks, bankrupt. I had a lot of fun designing that game, and I have a lot of good ideas for 2.0. It's just a matter of taking the time to implement it. And I think it could be the kind of thing that, you know, I could make money on. So that makes me really want to do it. Because I'm just a mercenary at heart. That's why I took the DC exclusive.
Yeah, that's why.
Just for the moolah.
You've been counting money the whole time you've been talking to us.
Countdown to full wallet.
Countdown to another steak meal for McKeever.
Nice. Well, Sean, it's always good to see you at the cons. Congratulations on all the big announcements in the last year and how well you're doing at DC.
Well, thanks. I'm a big fan of your show. So
all that cash and the giant gold necklaces you're wearing here, it's just amazing.
Yeah,
bling. Yeah, I've had to do a lot of neck exercises to be able to carry all this. But
I like the neck tattoo that's just Sean Money McKeever.
Do you especially like how I turned my Eisner into bling? That's the best part.
Nice.
Yeah, but an earring? I don't know. One of your lobes is hanging a little.
I need a second one to balance it out.
Oh, ooh, there you go.
Yeah.
Start campaigning.
Countdown.
Countdown to a second Eisner.
Oh, I should have him change the name to that. But I'm a big fan of the show, and I've always wanted to be on, so thanks for having me.
Here you are.
Thanks for talking to us. We love talking to you, Sean.
All right, cool. Thanks, man.
Yep.
We're now joined by the president of the Hero Initiative, Mr.
El Presidente. Hey guys, good to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Hi Jim, how you doing?
Doing well. Feet are a little bit tired. It's a convention.
Yep.
I think I have most of my voice, not all of it, but all in all, I'm feeling pretty good. I had a hot dog, so
yeah,
I had the blood sugar up. I'm feeling rejuvenated.
I had a nice $7 turkey sandwich earlier.
Ooh,
yeah,
what a bargain,
very
man.
Tasty, yeah.
They fantastic. Give you mustard with that? Or
nope.
Did you pay extra?
I had some lettuce and a nasty-looking pickle. No mustard, no nothing else. Mayonnaise.
I like the pickle, unless it's nasty-looking.
It was kind of nasty. I ate it anyway. I was starving, so it didn't matter.
You ate the whole goddamn thing.
I ate the whole goddamn thing. Damn thing.
Hey, you paid your $7, man.
Yeah. Well, I ate $7 instead.
Probably better nourished.
A lot of roughage there.
Yeah.
Well, it's
is that in coins or bills?
Both.
We're at Saturday. We're getting close to the close of the Saturday of the show.
Are we already?
Yeah, it's
Wishful thinking.
Oh, yeah. It's the first half of the day, as we like to call it. Hero always has a great presence here in Chicago. And you know, tell us a little bit about what you guys had going at this show and some of the stuff that you have coming up.
Well, the two biggest things we got going at the show are Paul Jenkins and the Ultimate Spider-Man 100 book. We've never done it before, but we actually brought a pool table into the convention center. We have Paul challenging fans. Get to play him for $30 a game. We have some great prizes you can win if you actually beat Paul. We've got original art, we've got CGC graded books, all sorts of stuff like that. And Paul is both a great, fun Carnival Barker kind of guy and an amazing pool shooter. So it's definitely different. It's something you usually don't see at a convention, but people have really been responding very well. It's been a hell of a lot of fun for us. And it's something that's totally different. The Ultimate Spider-Man book debuts this weekend at this convention. We had 100 different artists do an original cover on Ultimate Spider-Man number 100. We auction off the originals, and after 100 auctions, we grossed about $81,000 on those, which was wonderful.
Wow.
And now Marvel has collected it into a book for us. So we have it here at the convention. Soft covers are available at $10. The hard covers are $25, and they've been flying, absolutely flying. It's a great book. Practically every Spider-Man artist ever is in this. We got John Romita Sr., John Romita Jr., George Perez, Adam Kubert, Andy Kubert. You name it, man, they're in there.
It's yeah, if you have a favorite artist, chances are they're in this book. For those that aren't going to be able to be at the convention, where can they get the Ultimate Spider-Man 100?
Our friends over at Dynamic Forces are handling single copy fulfillment via the internet, so just go to dynamicforces.com. Both the books, the hardcover and the softcover, will be available there. Hardcover might not be available for too long, though. It's a limited edition, only 1,000, and the way they've been selling, I don't think the hardcovers are going to last very long.
No. That's if they make it through the weekend, I may be surprised.
That would be a happy problem to have.
Absolutely. Now, we kind of jumped over it. For the very few people that don't know what Hero is, can you break down what you guys do?
Long story short, the Hero Initiative is a federally chartered charitable organization that helps out a lot of the old-time guys in the comics business. You come to an event here like Wizard World Chicago and you just see how big comics is and really the penetration it has into all of our lives and just how massive this business is. And that business was created by and large through the efforts of a lot of guys back in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s who really weren't particularly well compensated for what they did. They had no ownership, they weren't paid royalties. As freelancers, there was definitely no pension, no retirement plan or anything like that. So a lot of the guys who really created this amazingly rich landscape, you know, that we all now get to live on, a lot of them are up there in age. Some of them might have medical or financial difficulties that they can't handle themselves. So we're a charitable organization that steps in and helps them when they need it. We've been around for about 7 years, and we've been able to help out over 40 creators and their families with over $250,000 worth of aid. So we've really been able to help people a lot. We've been able to change people's lives for the better. We've actually been able to save people's lives in some cases.
That's outstanding. And I think we talked about it off micro. You do it, and you have fun doing it, and you see that at the booth.
Absolutely. I mean, my thought is, I don't want to be the guy with the pencil cup, you know, saying alms for the poor, give me a dollar. I'd like to be able to provide. I really believe that everything in life is a two-way street. You give as you get, you get as you give. And I like, on a consumer level, to say to Joe Fan, I'll take your $5 if you want to give it to me, but look, here's a product, here's something we have for sale, here's an experience where you can play pool against Paul Jenkins, here's the Ultimate Spider-Man book. So I'm a huge believer in providing value when people are providing us value. When they're giving us their money, I want to give them something fun and something cool in return.
That's it. What's coming up with Hero in the near future?
A lot more conventions. We've really been hitting the convention circuit hard and heavy. And the next convention for us, I believe, is going to be Baltimore, which is early September. I think it's September 8th and 9th. We've actually got another really interesting thing going on there. There's a comic fan by the name of Michael Finn. And Michael's been going around to conventions for the past several years with backing boards, getting three-minute sketches from artists. He'll give him a backing board and say, hey, man, do me a sketch in 3 minutes. You wouldn't think somebody could really do something nice in 3 minutes, but it really puts the artist in a different mindset, and he gets a lot of really incredible things. So after doing this for a couple of years, Michael decided he wanted to do something cool with all these, so he decided to donate them all to the Hero Initiative.
Outstanding.
And we also took a look at it and said, wow, there's a bunch of amazing art from a bunch of great artists, so we're publishing a book as well. We'll have a new 112-page book that'll be out in time for the Baltimore Comic Con. So much like we're debuting the Ultimate Spider-Man book here in Chicago, the three-minute sketchbook is going to be a new product we'll have for Baltimore. And also Michael will have all the originals there, and we'll be auctioning off a lot of the original art as well at the Baltimore Comic Con.
Outstanding.
Fantastic. Awesome.
Great. Well, Jim, it's always a pleasure. You guys have been so great working with us, and we love working with you guys. And continued success with Hero, because it really is important, and it's the easiest charity for us to get behind, because what you guys do is it's important, it's needed, and it's appreciated.
Well, thank you very much. Always nice to hear that, and yeah, you know, you're right. We work hard, but we try to have a heck of a lot of fun while we're doing it as well.
Got it. All right. Thank you, brother. Have a great con.
Thanks.
We're now joined by Ape Entertainment. Not Ape. All of them, but several of them. This is actually take two of this talk. So thanks for coming back, guys. Appreciate it.
Always. We lost the first one. The lost broadcast.
Technical difficulties to start the show. But
I was witty and funny that time. Watch them go.
We've got Dave Hitchcock, Brent Irwin, and from Cereal and Pajamas, Mike Jungblut.
Toodaloo!
So, guys, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us again.
Thank you.
Well, I tell you what, since we have the talent here, let's start with Cereal and Pajamas. And been hearing a lot about this anthology, but tell you what, why don't you tell us about it, Mike?
It is 11 short stories that are inspired by Saturday mornings and getting up early and going down in your pajamas with a big bowl of cereal and just getting lost in the world that you watch on TV. And we wanted to do that, but with a little bit more of a grown-up sensibility. So we decided, let's all get together, let's do a book, and see what happens. And luckily, Ape was willing to take the ride with us.
Who are some of the creators that have been involved in the book?
See, that's not fair, because I'm going to forget somebody.
And then
several talented creators. I'll say the guys that are here so that I can at least say them. We have Ray Height from Protostar. We have Matt Dyer and Chris Tamlin of Blinds. We have Jamie Snell of Terra 4, Tim Kelly of Bunny Man, Ian Seneff of Boohoo. I'm going to forget somebody.
Jeff.
And Jeffrey Cruz of Among the Trees. So a good portion of the guys are already here. It's great.
Nice. Now, Cereal Pajamas, available now?
Available very shortly.
Okay.
It'll be in stores in about 2, possibly 3 weeks, but it's been available as an exclusive at the show.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
In the cereal box.
In a nifty cereal box.
Very, very swanky.
Yes.
Very nice.
Great.
So, you know, since you can talk bad about them now, because I'm going to ask you what it's been like to work with Ape.
As Brent gives me this
evil gives you the evil stare.
It's been good. It's been good. They've, like I said, we really kind of came to them and said, guys, this is the art we want to do. This is the book we want to do. We don't really have much else to say that we can do it, but trust us. And they said, all right, well, here's your deadline. If you can meet it, then we trust you. And we met it, and since then, it's just been great. And, I mean, they've really fostered us and let us do what we want to do, which is wonderful.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk about
it. We couldn't ask for more.
Except for the $20, you know.
I couldn't imagine a better experience.
Well, Ape Entertainment, you know, we've been impressed with you guys since you started putting books out. You know, there's a definite stamp of quality on the books. So you can always be, you know, assured that what you're going to get may not even be your taste genre-wise, but it's going to be a quality product. And, you know, we've been impressed by books like, you know, The Black Coat and Athena Voltaire, going back up, Horrorwood, you know, Brent Schoon over and the guys.
The trade's available this month, actually.
There you go.
Yes, it is.
Not only is the trade available, but if I can digress for a moment longer, we've got a really cool additional item in previews this month. You can get the Horrorwood trade paperback with a DVD that has two movies that inspired the book, as well as some video commentary from the creators themselves, and a couple other little special features in the DVD.
How the heck
really
did you guys
cool
pull,
little package.
How did you pull off being able to put movies in there?
They're public
domain.
Brilliant.
They're high quality. Great. It's a great package.
Cool.
Yeah, there's a bunch of white noir films that are all public domain, and they're great. They're great movies.
And it's stuff that you've probably heard of, but maybe you haven't seen or never seen. So it's good stuff. Great package.
Sign me up for that one. Another kind of multimedia experience that we've heard about is the Soul and Gray.
Yeah, we've got the Soul and Gray trade paperback. When's that, Brent?
That's going to be out in November, I believe. End of October, I'm sorry. Yeah, end of October. And it's going to come with a soundtrack that has basically a score of techno, like industrial kind of music that kind of suits the mood of the book. And you can sit back and you can read the trade paperback and listen to the cool mood music while you're doing it.
Music to read by.
Exactly. Yeah.
Tailor-made to read by.
It's the Ape Entertainment experience.
Yeah.
Nice. We talked earlier about you guys are kind of to the point as publishers where we're seeing a lot of these great series that came out as individual issues are now available in trade, and it's been great. I think for books like The Black Coat to get that second crack at readers, and I think that people, once the trades came out, really started to find out what these series were about.
Yeah.
What are some of the traded collections for series that you guys have worked for or worked on?
Well, like I said, we have Black Coat out. We have the Athena Voltaire web trade, which collects all the material that was online. Currently in previews, we have the Horrorwood trade, which we spoke about, the Soul and Gray trade coming up following month, and Nightmare World, which is the first issue which came out, and then the remaining issues that are all going to be collected in one book.
Yeah, we decided to go straight to trade with the book. Just it read better that way, and after some talks with the creative, we decided to go that route. That's actually available in previews right now as well.
Now, one of the other lead apes isn't here, Mr. Kevin Freeman, and we've got to talk about his book a little bit, because I didn't forget to talk about it the first time that we recorded this. Sorry, Kevin. Subculture is out, issues 1 and 2.
Well, issue 2 is debuting at this show, and it'll be in stores within the next week or two.
And Subculture is kind of a funny look at the geek culture that we all. It's a part of every one of us in one way or another. And Kevin and Stan Yan have really put together a funny look at this culture that we're all a part of.
Yeah, it's been getting some good reviews, and I think the reviews that haven't been giving it good, haven't been so great. They've kind of been focusing on the fact that Kevin's kind of using stereotypes, but as I was saying before, it's not really stereotypes when you look around the con. It's archetypes.
I think
right?
He's been kind of kind, actually. Yeah. He's been very kind.
Well, I mean, yeah, the only character in the book who's kind of miserable is the lead character, and he's the only one that hasn't really embraced his inner geek, So the guys that do embrace it, they're having a great time.
You guys are set up here at Wizard World Chicago again, and I know last year at Chicago you had a lot of fun stuff going on. Anything special? We can always look forward to something from you guys. Different kind of. Can't hear me? Nobody can hear me. My throat is so.
He's asking what we got coming up and misadventures.
Oh, yeah.
We're starting to premiere a brand new book called Misadventures of Clark and Jefferson.
Okay.
Which I brought a little postcard. Tom or Chris saw it earlier.
Let me see. Awesome.
And the postcard. Really I know it's like radio, but that's just like interior art that you're looking at right there.
Oh, nice.
So you can go to apecomics.com and check that out. We'll have a preview of almost the entire first issue up.
Whose art is this?
Who is it?
Don't.
Jay Carvajal is the writer, and Mark Borstel is the artist.
Mark Borstel.
He does pencils, inks, and colors.
Wow.
I'm glad you pronounced the last name.
And he's an amazing guy. And very talented. And just so you guys know, all 4 issues of that book are already done. It will ship on time. And you can order it at the end of this month.
You guys are putting stuff in the can now before you release them.
Yeah, we had some problems with Athena Voltaire and Black Coat.
Right. But I think everything's pretty much ironed out now. I mean, one of the things that we're doing moving forward with all the projects that we have is all creative notes. Everything has to be 100% complete before we even solicit the first issue. So pretty much if you know it's going to be in previews moving forward, you're going to see all the issues of the book on time.
Right.
Yeah.
I hate picking favorites because, I mean, you guys put out, you know, so many quality books. But right now, I am totally in love with White Picket Fences. It's just, you know, from the writing, the art, it is such a fun book. You know, my some people ask me about it. It's Leave It to Beaver meets War of the Worlds.
Yeah, I think that's a great description.
And it is such a fun, you know, like, you know, Stand By Me type group of friends that just happen to be, you know, in the middle of an alien invasion in an alternate reality Earth.
Yeah, it's a great little book. That's a good example of a book that we made sure was complete before we solicited the first issue. So issue 3 is actually debuting here in Chicago, and it'll be in bookstores in about 2 weeks. So.
It's outstanding.
I know. Actually, from our side of things, one of the big reasons we even wanted to do our book with Abe was we saw that and we were like, these guys have it, man. These guys already have this wonderful book that totally spoke to us. So, I mean, I think that's a great book. Beyond that, it's just bringing in more creators. I mean, it's beautiful.
It is. Yeah. Micah Ferriter. It's
incredible talent.
I know. Can you lock people up to exclusives? That's a guy to handcuff, man. You gotta keep hold of him. I
don't
love
like
Mike
to talk
Ford.
Too much about him because Marvel and DC are gonna pay too close attention to these things.
Yeah. Micah, who? No, he's great.
No, he deserves all the success that he gets. Yeah. The guy's incredibly talented
and a very hard worker.
Absolutely.
Well, it sounds like he's at the right place because that's how I hear you guys described quite a bit. I mean, you have a real passion for comics, and you know, nobody gets into this game to become, you know, multi-million-dollar moguls. You guys do this because you love
it. I did. That's why I'm here. That's why I podcast.
That's why I'm here.
Podcasting is where the real money is.
Yeah,
we're jealous.
No, but hey, guys,
I didn't think of that.
Always a pleasure to talk to the Ape guys. We always look forward to seeing you. It's another Wizard World. Chicago is about in the bag. Other conventions coming up for you where people will be able to check out the product.
We're definitely doing Baltimore.
Right, Baltimore Comic Con.
And then we're going to do, I think, the next one after that. We're discussing Wizard Texas still, but probably for sure New York Comic Con.
Yeah,
we'll see you in April.
Yeah.
Got it, man.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it won't be so cold this year. It's a little chilly last year. Not that we're not used to that.
Yeah, I want to bring a jacket this time, actually.
And
that was
a
kind
scarf.
Of a, yeah, and a scarf.
Don't forget the scarf.
It's a little bit of a mistake.
Yeah, I'm going
part.
To New York in February. I wonder if I should dress warm.
AccuWeather.com lied to me.
But we found you that scarf.
We did find a hoodie. I love New York.
I
love New York. My hoodie said so.
All right, guys. Anything else?
I want to give a quick shout out to the Bizarre New World guys. They're actually here at this show too, and we're debuting the last issue of that book. Issue 3 is out right now. And that one will be in stores in about 2 weeks. I know a lot of people love that book, so just want you to know that book's coming real quick.
Best place to find everything, Ape.
ApeComics.com.
Only one time.
You can edit out the other. ApeComics.com
that
I said.
Form and previews, go to ApeComics. And, you know, it's one thing we don't get to say this very often. It's a publishing company that everything they put out is worth a look. So,
thanks, Chris.
It's a stamp.
All right.
Guys, thank you so much. And I hope we won't have to take 3, promise.
I don't know.
But have a great rest of your con, and we'll see you soon.
You too, guys.
Thanks,
guys.
Man.
All right, thanks, Mike. Cereal and Pajamas, check it out.
Yes. Oh, and actually, I want to give Scotty gave us an awesome intro, too, so thank you, Scotty.
Scotty, thanks.
That was Scotty.
All right, bye, guys. All right, that will wrap up the interviews on the floor. We're going to go over a few things, thoughts and feelings.
Oh, I'm feeling tired.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
the general
feeling
is fatigue.
Yes. Exhaustion.
The big news, I guess, out of the show. Mark Miller and Hitch are going to be on Fantastic Four starting in January. I'm sure everybody
we heard
listening
about it
all
on Thursday.
I had a few things from the Cup of Joe panel that one of our listeners was kind enough to write down some notes. He went to it and wrote down some notes for us. There's going to be an Iron Man Doctor Doom. Looks like Mini from David McLean. Ultimates 3 will be in December. Annihilation Conquest Villain in November. I don't know what that note means. After Smash was announced, which is the third part of the Hulk,
the Hulk,
Hulk Planet Hulk trilogy. The Spider-Man 1 Last Day will be followed by or one more day will be followed by Brand New Day, featuring Dan Slott, Zeb Wells, Paul Jimenez, McNiven, and more. Alex Ross was returning to Marvel in 2008. They wouldn't name the project, but
unannounced project, but
they showed a picture, a Ross painting of Cap with like fire behind him. So don't know what that means exactly.
Return of Captain America. You know what happened?
Captain America in hell.
Somebody asked about if Marvel had any plans to copy the Image Slimline $1.99 format, and they said no.
Okay.
Why, because
there's no ads?
I guess. Mark Miller and Brian Hitch on FF.
He's also working on a project with Tommy Lee Edwards, correct?
Oh, yes, on
1985,
which is a sort of sequel to Secret Wars, kind of, but it's about all the villains and stuff. So that sounds kind of interesting. There will be a follow-up to Silent War. They don't have a name for it yet. Amazing Spider-Man will have small stories, like backup stories that will connect into year-long arcs.
Okay. Starting to close in on how that's going to work.
Ant-Man will be picked up by a surprising writer after number 12.
Really?
Ant-Man is going to continue, huh? I guess. Yeah.
Oh.
Keep an eye on Gambit in the Messiah Complex, they hinted.
Oh, Tom's excited now.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Ed McGuinness has a Hulk story in Marvel Comics Presents. So we were just talking about Ed McGuinness, you know, not a whole lot of production. And the final image of the panel, which had a lot of people going crazy, was a picture of Spider-Man or Spider-Woman and Iron Man sort of in a kissing embrace. She was hanging upside down and Iron Man...
Wait, what's Spider-Woman? Black and white or
yellow? No. Drew. Jessica
okay,
Drew.
Jessica Drew?
Yeah. Like
there's too many
kiss,
Spider-Women out
in a,
there.
In a kissing embrace sort of thing. So they wouldn't really say what it was or anything, but yeah, that was the big. So that was mostly from Cup of Joe. Other than that, they had a Mondo Marvel panel yesterday. There wasn't a whole lot of news, I think, that came out of it or anything. But
Well, you just came out of the Warner Brothers.
Yes, the panel? Super secret, hush-hush, double secret agent.
Super secret.
Double secret probation panel.
And they made T-shirts for it.
They had announced yesterday at the DCU panel that there was going to be Warner Brothers was coming, and it was going to be a secret panel, and everybody figured it was about the Dark Knight movie. And they gave out, starting this morning at 10 o'clock, you had to get in line and get an armband in order to get into it. And I was able to, luckily enough, not have to do that, and I got into it anyway. And it was basically, and all the noise you're hearing right now, I think, are people yelling and screaming. Oh, is that? But anyway, it was a Dark Knight panel, and it featured Christopher Nolan, David Goyer,
Gary Oldman,
Aaron Eckhart, and Christian Bale were all in attendance, and the crowd was going crazy about all that. And then basically it was a huge Q&A. They kind of just introduced themselves and said a little bit, and I thought... Christopher Nolan was really interesting. His brother, who's working on the film with him, who I think co-wrote the script, Jonah Nolan, lived in Chicago for many years.
Oh, great.
And Christopher Nolan used to come and visit him a lot in the summers, and so he really loved Chicago, and he was really happy that this time around, because in the first film they were only able to shoot here for like 3 weeks, and this time around, they've been here for months, and he's really loved it and just loves the city and everything. So that went over big, and then Bale was funny. He was talking about how he loves the character, and he just is sort of honored to be able to reprise the ass-kicking Superman, or ass-kicking superhero, as he called it. So, and Gary Oldman got probably the biggest response of anyone on the panel. People were just going nuts for him. And, you know, he's awesome. So Eckhart came out and sort of gave the crowd he put his hand between his face to do sort of like a two-face, you know, thing. And then they did a big Q&A, and they said a surprise at the end.
So you're gonna show some
footage. I would imagine some footage or a trailer or something, but I didn't stick around for it. I decided to
cool.
to ditch on that. There was a huge line of people waiting to ask questions.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I got to get back here and finish up.
Wrap up.
Yeah, so that was, it's kind of cool. I mean, it was neat to see those guys close up. Because I was it was funny, a friend of mine came by and said, hey, they're you know, if you want to get in, like, you know, come with me. So I ran with her, and we were actually like almost, we were in the front row off to the side of the stage. So I was pretty close to
awesome. So you didn't have to wait in line at all?
Yeah, I didn't. I got right in. I didn't have to wait in line or anything, but...
Well, as this is Saturday and things are winding down,
they're turning the lights off on us.
Turning the lights out. You have to stop drinking, but you can't drink here. Kind of just thoughts on the con. It's been what, 3 days for us now.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Sunday, the last day, and
we're not
going to come in for that for a little bit. But this is kind of going to wrap up.
Yeah, we're not going to record anything, I think, on it.
Tom, thoughts on the show in general?
It's all right.
It's all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not any big news.
No, there wasn't a whole lot of announcements. I thought, guest-wise, it was a little weak overall compared to, like, the last couple years.
I think we're still seeing the San Diego effect.
Yeah.
And next year, whenever it's in late June, I think Chicago will be
maybe
a little bit bigger show.
Artist Alley, I thought, was good. I thought Artist Alley was excellent. But, yeah, I mean, it was cool. It was fun. I had a good time.
Yeah.
Met a lot of listeners, and thanks to everybody that came up and said hi, and we got to hang with a little bit and all that. So,
do you think because I said it was just all right, Wizard isn't going to give us
a table next year? Probably, yeah. You probably just ruined
it. Men's bathroom.
But that might be a good thing.
Yeah.
Just for us on a personal level.
Yeah. We should get one other person's opinion here. You're talking about Artist Alley.
I was just talking about
Artist Alley.
Did you just find some random person there?
Is this a live microphone?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
What are we talking about?
We're just kind of doing a wrap up the show, what we thought about it.
Yeah.
We said it was solid. It was a good show.
This is the second year in a row I've been way at the back against
this
the back wall.
B. Claymore, by the way.
And I'm with Tony Moore and Jeremy Hahn over there, and it's awesome. I mean, I've sold tons of stuff. People come and buy looking for books that apparently they can't find in their comic shops. But I've sold the Battle Hymn trade paperback, which we had here last year. It's just, I mean, it sold out of everything I had earlier today. So,
oh, awesome. Well, you should. It's a good book.
Well, thanks, but that rarely has anything to do with sales, so I'm not sure what's going on. But it's been great. I mean, I don't know. Were you like passing your opinions of the setup, or just in general how the day's been?
Yeah, just kind of the general feel of the show. It's.
I know, guys. You know, there's like a separate section of Artist Alley that they opened up last year. That's kind of off to the side, and I think it's trickier for those guys. They don't get the traffic, but it's been. I can't complain. The last 2 years I've set up here, it's just been fantastic. You know, so
awesome.
It's been a good show so far.
Very cool. And then some news on your side. I think Atomic Revolver is officially been announced.
Yeah, we announced
your little think tank.
Yeah, me and artists Jeremy Hahn, Tony Moore, Jason Latour, and then writers Jason Aaron and Seth Peck kind of formed a virtual studio where we pool our resources. We're building a website and a group blog. We're all doing different stuff for different companies, and we're all friends. We've got similar sensibilities, so it's kind of an attempt for us to kind of have not so much a group identity as just sort of, like I said, share resources, let people who, you know, people who enjoy Jason's Vertigo work may not be familiar with Hawaiian Dick or stuff like that, and vice versa. And you know, we're all doing more and more stuff for different companies, DC and Marvel, and since we hang out together all the time anyway, we thought it makes sense to kind of band together and do whatever.
Make the bar tabs a write-off.
Yeah, bar tab? What?
So are you guys, are you using it more just to sort of promote the work you're all currently doing separately, or are you planning on doing anything together?
Well, actually, we are, we're going to do an anthology together that I already mentioned Derek Stevenson at Image about doing it there maybe next summer. And the idea is Tony Moore and I are doing a story together, and then Jason Aaron and Jason Latour are doing a story together, and then Jeremy Hahn and Seth Peck are doing a story together. And we're each doing original concepts. Unrelated to each other, but we're kind of letting each group work on their own without sharing a whole lot of stuff about it, and Tony and I are kicking around. We're going to do kind of a crazy period action adventure thing with it, and really it'll be a self-contained story. But the idea is, if people like it, you know, maybe we can do something with the character down the line. So,
well, a couple project years that I'm interested in. Hawaiian Dick, yeah. Going monthly.
Yeah, we're.
Yes, very excited.
We're going to debut the new Hawaiian Dick book in November, and. It's going to be an ongoing, and I think what we'll probably end up doing is like 4 issues monthly and maybe take a month off and then do a 2-issue arc and a month off and then 4 issues. I mean, we'll let kind of the production dictate that, but we don't want to fall behind in scheduling, and we want to make sure we're okay. Scott Chantler is doing the art, and he recently did the first Tech Jansen comic for Oni, and he did a book called Northwest Passage for Oni. Stephen Griffin, the original Hawaiian Dick artist, who's been nominated for 3 Eisners for his color on that book, is going to be coloring it, doing the covers, doing the production. And he's also going to be, I think, writing and drawing a backup story of his own that'll run throughout it, so he's still involved. And, you know, with luck, you know, I mean, we've kind of got a backlog of stuff because we wanted to make sure we ship on time and everything, so we should be all right with that.
Well, the first 2 trades are amazing.
Well, thanks. Most of the reason they're amazing is because Stephen Griffin just went to town like crazy doing extra features and drawings and just, you know, design work and stuff. But, yeah, they've been real popular. The first trade just went out of print. We sold out of that, but we'll be reprinting that.
I bought the last one.
What's that?
I bought the last one.
Wow. eBay, that's it.
We'll probably go back to print. Talking to Image, I think, maybe to coincide with, like, the second issue of the new series, because obviously I'd like to have it all out there for people to look at. So.
Now, like, 2 years ago, uh-huh. You teased me with this ash can of 76.
Yep. 76 right now, I think, will debut in January, probably. We were originally looking at December, but again, it's a case of wanting to make sure we have our ducks in a row. And it's basically, it's not a flip book, but there's 2 stories in this book. One is Jackie Karma, and he's a 1976-era street fighter in New York City. And he and his partner, Marcus King, the short of it is they were street fighters in the 60s, like young, idealistic hippies. And they retired, and now they're coming out of retirement in 1976 to deal with sort of a drug dealer pimp guy who they dealt with back in the day. And there's all this intrigue involved, and it introduces them and their cast of characters. And then the other story in the book, and that's with an artist named Ed Tatum, who is just a phenomenal young artist. And then the other story in the book is called Cool. It's written by Seth Peck, who's doing a book called Sorrow with Rick Remender right now. And it's drawn by just a phenomenal young Canadian artist named Ty Walker. And that's about 2 bounty hunters named Pete and Leon in Los Angeles in 1976. Who have to deal with a drug-dealing dwarf, an ex-porn star hitman, and a stripper who's got a stolen briefcase full of money. And it's the story that Seth and Ty are doing, is just, it's like a fantastic, it's like better than a Tarantino movie on paper, so I'm having a lot of fun watching that. But it's going to be 8 issues, so essentially the 2 stories will combine to be like 2 separate 4-issue miniseries, but they'll be in 1 book since they're the same.
Yeah, I'm trying not to think about it, the level of expectation that
I
have
for this
book
now. Well, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a niche thing, and you know, I mean, if you like the action genre and you're hip to the funky 70s,
I can't wait.
It's been a lot of fun. So
the fact that you sold out of all the Battle Hymn trades to, you know, this weekend, any chance we're going to see some more Battle Hymn?
I got to go to the trunk and get more of those. But Jeremy and I have talked about doing. We've plotted a one shot, like a 64-page one shot that takes place like 4 or 5 years after the Battle Hymn story.
Uh-huh.
Starring the Midnight Hour, who's one of the characters who survives Battle Hymn. And
spoilers.
But he is in the sequel. So we plotted it, and we actually kind of started getting work on it. But then he started doing more work with Marvel. He's doing a new Excalibur run, and I started doing stuff with. I'm doing some stuff with DC, and I started doing more of my other stuff. And I think if I can get the script done soon, then Jeremy will probably. Jeremy will probably slowly do pages as he has time, and I think he's going to do a story for the next Postcards anthology.
Postcards 2.
So he and I are seemingly
the greatest stories ever told.
For whatever reason, people seem to like us working together. So we're talking to people about doing a particular licensed property, and we're we've got a couple other higher profile things that we may end up doing together too. So it's, you know, it's good.
The DC work that you mentioned, can you talk to that at all, or?
Well, the first thing I'm doing is a story arc in JSA Confidential with a Canadian artist named Ramon Perez, who I've known for years, who's just a phenomenal talent, who has primarily done a lot of just freelance and gaming stuff, and he does a comic strip called Butternut Squash.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
That he draws, and when my editor kind of asked me what I had, and we talked about what kind of art style we had in mind for it and everything, I knew Ramon would be perfect for it, and they were gracious enough to let him come on board with me, and it is phenomenal looking stuff. I mean, if people aren't impressed with what Ramon's doing, then they're wrong.
So, they're stupid.
What character are you going to spotlight?
We're doing a Wildcat story.
Oh!
And the idea with the
more Wildcat stories.
Well, I know there's
always more.
I can't have enough of them, though, so keep doing
it. I will say the idea with the story is kind of to set it up, sort of kind of get into the character a little more and kind of establish where, you know, like where he might go from here, sort of, you know, like find
back him into the ring.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, back on the streets or whatever. I don't think it's so much a throwaway story. It's kind of a thing you might look at as sort of maybe a directional pointer for where Wildcat might go from here. So, and that's I've got something else I've done, and I'm talking about doing more stuff, but that's all kind of still
rumor and innuendo at this point.
Working with DC so far has been fantastic. Mike Siglane is the editor I'm dealing with, and he's fantastic. And I met with Dan Dio and Jan Jones earlier, and they're just really easy to get along with.
How can you not be excited working for those two guys? I mean, well, Jan's a girl, but I mean, they're just seem so passionate about what they're doing. And
well, I've known Jan for years just through, she was a Hawaiian Dick fan, and I would run into her at cons all the time, and she would always be enthusiastic about it, you know?
Right.
And that's kind of how we formed any kind of a relationship. And, you know, she kind of started looking for people that she was a fan of, that she had known. And I was just one of those guys who she said was nice to her at a con. But how could you not be nice to her? And she likes my work, and I was appreciative of that. So she asked me if I'd like to do stuff there. And I, like I said, so far, I mean, it's been way smoother than a lot of situations I've had to deal with editors and work for hire and stuff. So.
Yeah, well, you've been doing this for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing my own thing primarily, but I do have a story coming out in a Marvel Comics Presents later this year, a Stingray story that Lee Weeks is doing the art for. So,
nice.
Stingray.
Yeah, I know.
The old red and white.
Yeah.
Nice.
He was the only character I assumed wasn't involved.
Bendis wasn't using him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he can't keep up with all that stuff, but I thought, surely there's no Ultimate Stingray book coming out soon. It's just a fun little
thing. Don't say that, because now someone's
Bendis just wrote down, I want Stingray.
He probably just wrote the issue. You know, it's just a fun little story, so that's my Marvel debut, I guess, for what it's worth. So
awesome.
No idea when that'll come out, but they're soliciting that book now. So.
Keep your eyes open for it.
Yeah, and tell me what you think of it.
All right. That's Atomic Revolver, best place to find it on the web?
MySpace.com/AtomicRevolver is where we're kind of keeping, you know, we're doing updates, letting people know what we're doing with cons, what's coming out. And we're still in the process of getting the official website built and launched. But we're planning early next year to have a con presence somewhere where we'll probably be exhibiting together under the banner and maybe do a panel and stuff.
That'd be great.
So, you know, hopefully that works out.
All right. Well, Clay, always a pleasure seeing you at cons and
bumping into you. Appreciate you guys taking the time to chat with me.
Yeah.
No, anytime.
You're up on some old 70s British TV.
Oh, absolutely.
A little bit later.
I'll talk for hours about stuff nobody cares about.
Yeah.
That's what I do. So
yeah, between you, me, and Suntris, we'll just sit around and watch Sandbaggers. Yeah. And what's the one that he turned us on to?
The Sweeney.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll definitely do that.
All right.
And I'm gonna get a bite of Mike's apple pie.
I was eyeballing that earlier.
Dirty.
I don't.
It is dirty.
Good seeing you, Clay.
Thanks, Clay.
right.
All right, guys.
Yeah, you know, Wizard World Chicago, another one in the books.
Yeah.
For anyone that, that's been listening to the coverage, if you want to call it that.
Hard-hitting, groundbreaking, story exclusive.
Let's just make shit up.
Yeah, we should have done that. That would have been pretty funny.
DC's just out of business.
Yeah, DC. Yeah,
they just Marvel bought all the characters, and
Dan DiDio is
going to marry Wonder Woman.
Dan DiDio and John Suntress are going to be on a sitcom
the same
together.
Person.
They're the same person.
My Life with the Dans.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, for anyone that that just started listening to us at CBR because of the con coverage, hopefully you stick around. You can find more shows that we've done at AroundComics.com and come out twice a week. So hopefully you enjoyed it if you're a first-time listener. And if not, we tried.
So nice. We tried. Please love us.
There's something wrong with
Yeah, like Clay said, if not, you're wrong.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
all it is, you know. So listen again. And maybe you'll get your head straight enough to like it.
Nah, you missed something.
You may, yeah, that's just
you
a, you're not you're just
point.
Not getting it.
Yeah.
You're just not go back and listen again.
It's re-listening.
It's really good. You got to dedicate a lot of time to it.
Yeah.
It's
all
deep.
Right. Folks, thanks a lot. Look for a new episode next Monday when we'll get back on our regular schedule. We're
going to
take right here after the con, but be back at our regular home at Dark Tower Comics on the north side of Chicago.
And thanks to all the creators that came by and to talk with us, and thanks to all the listeners that we met this
Special
weekend.
Thanks to Drew Selden at Wizard Entertainment.
And Jonah over at CBR. Thanks. Yeah, everybody have a great day.
All right. From Chicago, signing out.
Bye-bye.
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, babe. Yeah.